right, you guys ready for the greatest phone call in the history of conversation?
Let's do it.
Awesome. I want to welcome everybody to the call, wherever you may be, across the states, around the world, wherever you're listening in from. The audio portion we recorded at Focus on Growth, they're recording that. The video portion, however, we're not able to record. I'm going to try to figure out how the heck to do that. I've been told I can and I can't, and obviously I know that you can. I just don't know exactly how to do it yet. We are blessed to have with us tonight Kevin Griffin from Rock Logic. Kevin, are you out there in here on the phone? You ready to go?
Yep, I am here.
Awesome, my friend. We're going to get to your big production here in about five or ten minutes. I want to take care of a little bit of housekeeping because we got a lot of stuff up and coming, to say the least. Some very big stuff going on right now across NECN land. Of course, you guys know about all the great pack bonuses and everything like that. I'm not going to get into all the little details on all that stuff tonight. I'm going to talk about more about that tomorrow evening. I do want to go over a couple quick announcements. First, tonight, we're going to go over, of course, Rock Logic, how to utilize it. Many of you could not get on the WebEx. In fact, the WebEx is just about full again tonight, which is really cool. I really like that. A lot of you guys could not get on last time. We're going to dedicate this entire call to utilizing the tool. And then next week, we're actually going to go through in the same time slot what tools to use. We're going to talk about the process. And what I want you guys to understand is what these tools allow us to do is to communicate. That's what they're there for. Our process, basically, of meeting people, showing them a little, showing them a lot, does not change. It becomes greatly empowered. You've got a synchronicity, kind of a ballet between live meetings, touch points, phone calls, follow-ups, and e-tools, and traditional face-to-face ABCs, live previews, the whole nine yards. And I really want to focus next week on how to use that ballet of, you know, instead of doing five meetings like we did 3 or 4 years ago, you can cut it down to one or two. Of course, it enables working at a distance in ways we've never been able to do. So next Monday night, we're going to talk about that, you know, like what video to use in what situation. All of the Evites now, and I want to thank you, Kevin, for this. I was just looking through, that are on pathfinders.biz are converted over into Rock Logic now. So if you guys go there in my shared library, you're able to use those. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a listing up. I need to go in there over the next couple of days, and, like, if you want to send out a first contact or an ABC Evite, I'm going to type in there under the header contact so that you won't have to search for them. Kevin and I had to talk about that today. So those Evites are up in the shared library. They were not last week. Of course, this Thursday night at 7 o'clock Central Time is Worldwide Preview. We've been having big groups on that every week. It's a versatile tool to be able to bring a presentation into your home. It's something you can watch individually, or it's a meeting of groups. It's a grouping of groups. So that's been really exciting stuff to have that, and that's up and coming. One thing I do want to cover real quick, because it's important, because when the ticket price is going up this week, I want to share my desktop, because I got a lot of questions. Where can I go for summit information? I'm going to take about 30 seconds and do this. Let me pull it up here. It is right there. If you click, this is the Pathfinders homepage. If you click on the summit picture right there, it's going to take you to the homepage for this. Everything you need to know about it is right here. For example, if you click in the top right, ticketing, of course, you're going to get to the ticketing information. The ticket price is going up by $10 or $15 this Friday.
Rick, I don't think anybody can see your desktop.
Okay, now we can see it.
Can you see it now?
Yeah, yep. Well, now we can see it. It just
came
up.
Can you see me now? Good.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
All right, right on. So you guys can see this. Let me back up one thing. When you go over to the Pathfinders.biz homepage, can you guys all see that now?
Yep, there you go.
Right on. When you click on the summit banner, you're going to come to this main page, and you're going to find everything on here, from an event flyer, the hotel information's on the left, convention center map, all that stuff. Ticketing information, event agenda, everything is going to be up here. If you click on ticketing, you'll notice that this Friday is the first price increase, and I'm doing that because I want people to, you know, to get these in so we can actually make some plans. I know a lot of you guys have gotten them already, but this week, you know, what's the 11th commandment? Never pay retail. It's bug dumb if you're coming to pay the increase. So that comes this Friday. Of course, what we're talking about tonight is the Rock Logic and e-tool in the 21st century business building. Never before in the history of home businesses has anybody been able to build with the speed, the no borders, the efficiency that we can today. We're going to dedicate the training day Thursday at the summit to these tools, and Kevin, you guys are going to be there, correct?
Absolutely.
Awesome. I don't know if you know who you're sending out yet. I don't know if you're going to be here or not. But
it'll probably be me.
Yay!
All right. Well, we're going to see what you look like three-dimensional. That'll be pretty cool. So you'll be out doing that, and we're going to spend that whole day teaching teaching you how to work smart and dedicating your business to that. So that's what's going on with that. I wanted you guys to know that. A couple other quick updates. If you guys go over to the e-tools page, and I want to talk about something before we get into the e-bikes, because a lot of people have asked this. Last week, and this is if you go under the e-tools page, if you click under this right here, it says tips for success with the e-bike, okay? This is what we talked about last week on the call, and this is really important. A ton of people asked me for this, so we put them up here. You download these, all the stuff that Kevin's going to talk about tonight, these are the guidelines for making them successful on your own. I'm going to go over them real quickly because it will kind of set the table for what we're about to do. I think if you understand this going in, you'll have better results with your e-bikes than if you don't. So basically, like I said before, if you meet somebody at the grocery store, if you're working your warm market, if you're running your 100 list, whatever you're doing, you know, let's say, for example, I met you at the grocery store. A year ago, I would have went out to the car and got a DVD or set up a time to come and meet you. The difference is now I can go home, I can hop on my InTouch, and I can send you the presentation. But you understand that with that feed comes a backlash in that there can be less value on an email. So you're trading off speed for less value of the face-to-face, but you're going to compensate for that by, number one, knowing how to get people to open the e-tool. Very, very important. And number two, by good follow-up, and by putting, and the third thing is by putting these simple rules into place so that email is going to be more successfully utilized. Number one, every e-vite you learn how to do tonight, it must be written to make something happen. Focus on the goal before you do it and decide what it must contain to get the result. Make reading your e-tool or your letter, they're kind of interchangeable, worthwhile for the prospect. Okay, so it will move the process forward. If you're, this is critically important. If you're sending an e-vite just to provide prospects with more information, you are wasting your time. We are not sending these for information. We're sending these to produce a result. Many times in the process, you guys will hear somebody, would you like more information? No, you're driving decisions. Very important. Number two, have a strong hook. Your e-bot has to immediately grab their attention or it will be thrown away as junk. Depending on the type of business you're in, you could hook it with a special offer, lead, or communicate a unique benefit. When your e-bot follows a phone call, highlight the benefit your prospect desires or follows an ABC. Very important. So if they talk about being home with their children, write it from that perspective. They talk about retiring, write it from that perspective. If they say they want a sleep system to help their sleep apnea, write it from that perspective. Number three, convey a unique message. Have you ever gotten letters from competing companies that sound identical? Guys, this is a big thing with home businesses. They all say you can work from home and make money and yada, yada, yada. How does ours sound different? You want to pull that out. One quick thing about this, and I'll talk about this more in just a second. Your e-tool, in fact, your entire process should not be based on what we have. It should be based on what we can do for them. Many people make the mistake when prospecting of just running off and telling people what we have, and it's all offense. And what you want to do is you want to have it set up so it's what we can do for them. So talking about what we have is passive. Active is when you're saying what it can do for them. Number four, keep your reader in mind. Imagine you were face-to-face with your prospect reading it aloud. Would you like it? You know what I'm saying? Do that. Send it to yourself. Send it to your spouse. Send it to your upline. If it's an e-tool you're going to use a lot, you know, check it. Double check it. This is one of the advantages to using the library. I'll talk about that in just a second, the shared library. Write about the customer. This is what I just said a minute ago. This means you'll stress what you, the customer, will get and not what we, the company, can provide. Highlight the benefit front and center and use it to describe it, then summarize it again. Remember, it's not what we have, it's what they will get. Number six, make responding easy. No matter what you're writing, have a clear and actionable next step. This is the key to your process. In some cases, in fact, usually, it's going to be something that they're supposed to do next. In other words, if you send them an e-vite about the sleep system, it should have something in there. Here's how you get one. Do you want wholesale or retail? It should have that action step. You know, you also want it so whatever you're going to do next is going to be easy and simple, so it doesn't just lead into endless chains of emails. So these are here. We had a lot of people asking for those last week. So the bottom line, if you go to the e-tools page, that's all there. Two other quick tools that we put up. If you go to the business tools page, if you go down here, we put up the where did it go? Wrong page. I'm sorry. Product info. That's where I put it. Dennis Williams' presentation on the OsteoDent, if you scroll down here, it's there now in a downloadable format. go right in there and grab that. That's Dennis Williams' presentation. I have not done the e-tool for this yet to transfer it over to InTouch. Last but not least, if you click on Product Resources, at the top, this is from Anthony Beauvais. If you right at the top, biaxial magnetic rotation, scientific information. This is the latest from Anthony. Got it from Botanus. He gave this to him. This is 6 pages of hard-hitting science about the biaxial magnetic rotation. This is something you're going to want to get, and you're going to want to get it now. So that's the bottom line with that. For those of you who don't know what this site is, just root around. There's a lot of facts. And what I tried to do with this was take the best of the company plus the best of the field and combine them, because Niken can never put our stuff on there, and we typically haven't put Niken stuff on there. Well, I went ahead and did it on this. Some of you have asked, where has the Discover Niken name gone? I got a nasty letter, no, not nasty, but telling me I need to dump it. So the reason it says Pathfinders.biz now instead of DiscoverNiken.biz, because I got yelled at, had to sit in the corner with a hat on, and they made me take it down. And I technically, because I owned it, could have kept it, but I didn't want to have a fight with the company over it. So it's Pathfinders.biz. So that's where that stuff is. Enough about that. Before we get started tonight, too, let me find out how to get back to my main screen here. I think I clicked this right. There we go. There we go. What I want you guys to focus on tonight, too, is creating e-vites that work. Find the ones that are going to do the heavy lifting for you. What's your ABC e-vite? And we're going to talk, and I'm serious, we're going to talk about this big time next week, okay? But find the ones that work for you. Don't sit around your house creating 8,000-page presentations. Find your 4 or 5 e-vites that work. And if you need to custom make one, it should be because somebody said they want something for their back or a special nutritional. But your prospecting, meaning when someone wants to look at the business, here's their ABC, here's their preview invite. Oh, that's the other thing. Dennis Williams' presentation, it's up online. They're running now, too. So once somebody's seen an ABC, I said, do you want to watch a recorded WebEx one I can send to you? Do you want to watch a video, or do you want to come to the live presentation in Austin? Or do you want me to send you for the Worldwide WebEx Thursday night? I give them choices, and then I select one of the e-bites that I already have created. I'm not going to go home and be making one every time. So be efficient. And that's pretty much that. I wanted to take just a couple minutes and set that up, because last week a lot of the questions I got after Kevin were on were based on what I just talked about there, how to use them, you know, the tips for having success with them. So what I want to do now is turn it over to Kevin. So remember, you've got till Friday to get the ticket price. All day Thursday at the summit, we're going to be covering this stuff again with Kevin live. Friday's going to be the doctor's day and all the scientists. We just added a fantastic new nurse today that has over 25 years experience and has just gone full-time in Niken to leave the medical world because it's so messed up. Saturday's going to be all the big guns from Dennis Williams to Doug Braun to Larry Prophet to Reed Nelson coming in. Awesome stuff. So here's the bottom line. Let's get after this now. Kevin, are you ready for the greatest call in the history of humanity?
Ready to go.
Outstanding. Well, Kevin Griffin is here, and for those of you that were not with us last time, Kevin and the InTouch family, the Aronsons and everybody else over there, are not only great supporters of Niken, those of you that have watched our videos for years at convention, the product launch videos, these are the folks that do them. They do a really terrific job on the tools they make, but they're even better people. Just having got to know them, they work so hard to make our lives more successful and to help us make money. They care about what they do. They're good people. This InTouch tool gives us a competitive advantage in Niken. We've always had the best product. We've always had the best pay plan. Where we have suffered is because we're not a jug of juice company. You know, if I had a diet pill, I could have a sticker that says, take the pill, lose the weight. That's nice if you've got a product. Most network marketing is built, drink the stuff, you're healthy. You know, use the phone card, get paid. Niken, because it's a 40-year career, meaning it's still going to be paying you in 40 and 50 years, is more complex. Most of the network marketing books are written for a company that's going to be around for 3 to 5 years. Niken has a sophisticated, powerful, robust game plan that puts us like an NFL franchise compared to all these other like USFL teams. And so the reason that's important is because it makes it a little more robust to communicate with people. So I want you guys to understand that one of the things about Niken that makes it special is the fact that we have a robust, you know, we have a huge message. Any one of our products you could talk for 6 hours on. Well, InTouch is going to allow us to be able to communicate that effectively. Now we have the horsepower to match the product power, to match the pay plan power, And basically, we are the most advanced home business in the world. And Kevin, I want to thank you for putting this together for us. I'm going to make you the honcho here so you can start running from your desktop. Why don't you take it away and explain how they can go out and bring a couple hundred thousand people into their downline. What do you say?
That sounds like a great idea.
You are now, you have the ball, my friend. You are now the presenter.
Let me just share here.
There we go.
There we go. Well, good evening, everybody. How's everyone tonight? I hope you are doing very well. And thank you, Rick, for that kind introduction. And thank you guys for taking the chance to take a look at InTouch and take a look at what we believe is the most innovative tool in home-based businesses today. There's nothing like this in the marketplace today. Nikon is the only one that has this product, and so we're excited to bring it to you and to make it available to you. What I wanted to do, first of all, before I jumped into InTouch, was actually some of you last week or 2 weeks ago when we were on the call, the Nikon server was having some problems, and when some of you were trying to go and get information and sign up for InTouch, you were having some problems. So I wanted to just go to the My Nikon homepage and indicate to all of you where you can go and what you can do to get more information. There will be a little bit of time lag in the computer system. That is just something that happens because of the way WebEx works. So I'll kind of speak about things and then give them time to react on the screen.
Hey, Kevin, I'm going to say something. If anybody has any questions, just go down to chat and type them in, and I will do my best to field those and give them to you, Kevin, at the appropriate time.
Okay.
Sorry, I forgot
to
say that, my friend.
No problem. And you can interrupt at any time, Rick, if there's something pertains to what we're talking about. It's not a
right
problem.
On, man.
There are three places on the My Nikon homepage that you can currently go to either get more information or to sign up for InTouch. The main area of the My Nikon page has five different promos that rotate in and out of that screen. And the InTouch is actually item number five. So if you want to skip through all the other ones and don't want to wait for them to rotate, you can simply click on number five. And you can click on Learn More, which takes you to a small website that gives you some more information on it. Or you can sign up or log in. If you're an existing user and you click sign up or log in, what happens is you just log straight in and you're at the home page in the InTouch system. If you are a new user, it'll take you to the login page, to the sign up page. Sign up is very simple. All you need to do is provide your credit card information, and that is billed through Nikon's AutoShip program. There are two other places you can access it. Over in the articles section, there's a page here that you can click to read more. You get the website and you can sign up from there. And the last one is down in the promotional tools tab. That tab where you can sign up or log in there. So since there was some confusion a couple weeks ago on exactly how that worked and some problems getting into it, I thought we'd cover that very quickly.
Thank you. A lot of people asked that. And by the way, I'm getting panicked calls again, people that were on. I think the WebEx is full again. So if you're getting a message saying WebEx full, you can listen in, and I'm sure Kevin will bring you back again. So sorry for the folks that are listening but could not get on the WebEx.
Let me talk a little bit about what InTouch is, first of all, before we actually go into how to use it. The basic concept of InTouch is that there are three large buckets of information out there. There is the information that Nikon Corporate has produced. This can include anything from video content to still images to audio files, all sorts of content that they have produced that until now has kind of been locked away. You either had to buy a pack of 10 DVDs or 20 DVDs to get the videos, or you had to buy the catalog and then try and figure out how you could use some of that imagery to help you in building your business. The second pool of information is the information that the Nikon leaders have developed and have worked with over time that's proven. Presentations, PowerPoints, information on how to recruit, information on how to sell the Nikon products, information on how to share your own story with people. And the final bucket of information is your information. The thing that makes this business personal is your personal story, how it's affected your life, how it's changed your life, either through the product experience that you've had or through the business experience that you've had. That's your personal information. It's your family photo album, so to speak. And what InTouch basically does at a very basic level is it allows you to take those three buckets of information, it puts them in one place so that you can draw from any bucket that you choose and put that together in a presentation that is easily distributable to your downline, to prospects, or to people in your field of vision. At the very basic level, without going into anything technical, that's what InTouch is all about. It's about a community. It's about your ability to share with other people your Nikon story, and it's about other people's ability to share within the InTouch organization content and information that they have. It's been built basically so that it's pretty much drag and drop and simple to use. We have not tried to make it so that it can do everything. There is software out there that can do more than this software can on a building level, but not on a sharing level. And so what we have tried to do is try to keep this as straightforward and easy to use as possible. If you come in from the very beginning, you'll see as we walk through it that you can simply take an existing presentation, it personalizes it to who you are, and you can send it out without ever knowing how to place font on a page or place an image on a page. All those things are possible, but you don't have to be a computer genius to use it. When you log into Nikon from the very beginning, you'll be taken to the InTouch homepage, and that should be what everybody sees on my screen right now. It's basically a page that allows you to become familiar with what InTouch is and what it does. If you are a new user, or if you are somebody who just signed up or have not had much experience with it, I would highly recommend that the first thing you do, our first instinct is when our kids get a gift at Christmas is just to put it together, right? Taking the instructions out is for pansies. Well, unfortunately, what we do is we end up with two or three extra screws or something like that. So the media center is the same way. What I think you should do is take some time and watch what you'll find here on the homepage. You'll see that there are a few videos that are meant to train you in certain areas. The first one I would recommend you watch is the Nikon Nickel Tour, which basically gives you, it's about 5 minutes long, and all it does is give you an overview of what Nikon is all about and how it works, what InTouch is all about and how it works. We will be adding another video probably within the next week that is a little bit deeper than that, but is functionally, here's what I do from the very beginning. Here's step one, two, and three. In addition to the Nikon Tour, there are all of these just 30 to 60-second little clips working with libraries using the slide sorter. They're really they're specific to tasks that you will perform within the media center. So I would highly recommend that even if you're not doing any of these, take a few minutes and just watch them. It gets you familiar with how the system works and how you can best utilize it to build your business. Once you sign up, the first thing that I would recommend that you do is to go to your profile page, which is over up on the top. You'll see Home, Builder, Tracker, Contacts, and Profile. The first thing that I would recommend that you do is go to your profile page. This is where you can put the information that you want to share with other people. When you send out, you'll notice when we build these presentations that when you send out an e-card or when you send out a presentation, it's always personalized to you. So I'd recommend that first of all you upload your own image, your own picture. You upload it to your library simply by choosing a file. So if you choose a profile photo, it brings up your Finder on your system. You simply click and go to wherever it is that you want to come up with your image. You click on it. I'm not going to upload an image right now, but you click on it, and you can upload it to your system. The other thing you can do is add the correct email address, add your website, your phone number, all of those things. It's very important to note that the information that you input in your profile here is not backwards compatible with your MyNikon information. If you input different information here, it does not change your MyNikon profile. That's done intentionally. Your MyNikon profile has to be changed through MyNikon. This is information only and solely for the media center. After your profile is put together, let's go to the builder and we'll begin to take a look at what's in here, what the content is that you can do something with, and what the best way is to use it. I'll give you guys a little bit of a lay of the land to begin with so you feel comfortable with what's on the screen. The first thing is a technical note that I'll note here. If you are using whatever kind of computer you are using, the system works best if your monitor is set at a 1024 or higher resolution. If you're running your monitor at like 800, 600 or some resolution like that, you're going to have a very difficult time seeing everything that's on the screen. If that's a confusing deal for you, Nikon's IT support can walk you through resetting your monitor resolution. It's fairly simple to do, but I'd highly recommend that that's the first thing you check. If you first launch InTouch, the only software that is required is the most recent version of Flash. The system will automatically detect if you have it. If you do not have it, it will automatically take you to the installation website. You'll install Flash, and you'll be up and running. The Media Center itself does not download any content or any software to your computer. It's totally web-based, so you need to be on some type of a broadband web connection. If you're on a dial-up, you're going to struggle to get through it because it needs the bandwidth that a broadband connection will give you. When you first come to InTouch, you'll notice that there's a few things, lay of the land. The first is in the upper left-hand corner. There's an area where you can create a new slideshow, you can create a new slide, or you can create a new e-card. We already talked about the items on the right-hand side: home, builder, tracker, contacts, and profile. We'll come back to the two or three of these after we build some things. Then down on the bottom are the buckets we talked about. Basically, we have the Nikon library, which is everything that is in the Nikon library. That means that if you can sort over here by assets, there are different kinds of assets. There are audio files. There are video files. And all the videos pop up in the library. If you choose to roll over them, the video will play when you roll over it. It will take it a minute to load, and then it will begin to play so you can preview what it will look like. There are also still images. All of the Nikon products are in here for you to use the imagery for your content. You'll notice that there's quite a few pages here of information. There are also e-cards. There are e-cards, and then there are slides, and then there are full presentations. And just so everybody has an understanding here, the difference between an e-card and a presentation is that an e-card is designed to exist in the body of the email that you send out to someone. Okay? An email cannot play a video without downloading a video onto their computer or an audio file. So if there are any of those things, there will be a button for them to click, and it will launch their web browser to play those items. But if you just send an e-card with image and text content, it simply shows up in the email that they will view. A presentation, on the other hand, is a multiple slide, like a PowerPoint, that is streamed online. So they will open up a web browser window that will allow that presentation to be seen. So if we go down here, we have the Nikon library. We also have my library, which I have a few things in. And if they're an image, you can see that you can simply roll over an image, and it will pop up so you can take a look at it and see how it works. And then there are the shared library. The shared library, people who are allowed to contribute to the shared library are Nikon President's Club members only. And what you can see here, there are a few people who have contributed. And so if I go to Rick and I double-click on Rick's image there, I can see that right now there are four e-cards in one presentation. Rick commented earlier about his content moving up from Pathfinder's website, moving on to here. All the e-cards aren't here yet, but we're building them as quickly as we can to get them online. Right now, there are a few different e-cards. There's the 10-minute ABC. There is the business launch sponsoring Evite. And then there's Rick's The Giant Awakens presentation. So you can use any of those presentations from Rick's library because he's shared them with us. What I'd like to do is take you through the very basic level of using the system. Like I said early in the call, you don't have to be a computer genius to use InTouch. You can simply take content that has already been made available on the site and use it for your benefit. So I'm going to start with something that actually might be very, very commonly used by some of us. I'm sure we all have friends and family that might be having a birthday sometime. So all I'm going to do, you'll notice I can go into my search and I can type in birthday. And it will bring up, it automatically sorts the library and brings up the four birthday cards that are currently in the library. These are continuing to grow. We're adding to these all the time as we continue to build out the library of content. Once I have the e-cards in here that are related to birthday, all I have to do is drag those up into the builder area and drop them. It's going to ask me three options. Number one, I could preview the e-card. Number two, I could copy it to my library. Or number three, I could simply email it out. It's rare that you would simply email something out because normally you need to put your own message in there, like Rick was talking about, putting the right information. So I'm simply going to say, I want to make a copy of this e-card and put it in my library. It says, okay, what do you want to name it so you can find it later? And I'm going to say, happy birthday, Rick. I have no idea when your birthday is, Rick, but we're going to assume it's
every day around here.
It's every day. There you go.
That's right.
So I'm going to say, this is my happy birthday, Rick e-card, and I'm going to add it to my library.
Kind of tough to get a $20 bill on there, isn't it?
There you go. Can you fax those? So now if I actually go to my library, you'll see that I'm going to click on my library tab, and I just added that e-card to my library. Okay? All I have to do is if I go up to the text box and double-click on it, I can type something in. I can say, sorry we missed you today, Rick. Okay? So I can simply type that in. I place my text, and I'm done. That's as easy as it is to build the e-card. You don't have to come up with your own imagery. The important thing to note is, number one, this e-card is branded Neekin. This is all about building your Neekin business. So if you're sending a birthday card maybe to somebody who's not involved with Neekin, this may prompt a discussion with them. It's subtle. It's drip marketing is what it is, folks. It's not always having to kind of push it into somebody's face, but these types of subtle things, using this powerful tool to build your business, allows you to market in ways that you've never been able to before. That presentation, this e-card is basically ready to go. I can click on preview up here just so I get a chance to look and see what it's going to look like before it goes out. And there's a few things that I want everybody to note here. You'll note that my e-card that I just built is here in the main body, but look down at the bottom. This e-card has been personalized from me. Every single thing you send out, remember that profile page we looked at, has my name, my company, my email address, my phone number, and my website. So they know immediately this is branded, that it's from you. They don't know that it was pulled out of a library. They don't know where it came from. This looks like a personalized happy birthday card that was sent from you. If I then chose to email that e-card out, all I would do is I would simply click email, and I'm going to send it to myself so we can take a look at things later. Okay, happy birthday, and I'll click send. And that, at the very basic level, is the use of the Media Center. It's very simple and straightforward. That e-card will be sent to me, and I'll give it a few minutes to get through the and then we'll go and take a look at it. But what if you don't know if the person got the e-card? Let's say this wasn't a happy birthday e-card, and it was a follow-up. You met somebody in the grocery store, and they made contact, they seem interested, so you sent them a follow-up e-card. And you send it to them, and you're not quite sure if they got it, or maybe you should follow up with a phone call next. What's helpful is to know what happened to your e-card. So up here in the upper right-hand corner is this function called a tracker. If I go to this tracker, this gives me a list of every single presentation that I've sent out. And I can look right up here at the top, and I can see, oh, I sent an e-card, my happy birthday e-card to Rick. and I can hit on the plus sign, and it shows who I sent it to. I sent it to myself, griffin@2010.com. Has he received it? No, not yet. Has he viewed it? No, not yet. Has he forwarded it? Not yet. That is when I've sent it to one email address. If I had sent this e-card or presentation to 10 email addresses, all 10 of those email addresses would be listed underneath here. So that's the power of it, is that now if that's a follow-up e-card, you can say, oh, I know he's viewed it. It's time for me to call him. Or, you know what? He never watched it. Did he throw it away? Did he not get it? What is the cause of this never turning into receive? Now, I have not shared my email, so I'm just going to open it real quick here so we can change that. You will not see this, but all I'm doing that you can't see behind the scenes is I'm just going into my email and opening it up. So now once I have opened that up, I can refresh this screen. I'll go out of it and go back into it, so it'll refresh it. And then if I go back into the tracker, sometimes it depends on the, just so you know, if someone opens it and you happen to look at it 2 seconds later, it may not come up. Sometimes the servers take time to respond. But if I go in here, I can now see that the e-card that I sent to Kevin Griffin was received at 7:36 on the 9th of March, and he's viewed it one time. Every time he goes back in and views that presentation, I'll know it, because this will go to 2 to 3 to 4. If Kevin decides that he's really excited about this, so he's going to forward it to his dad to take a look at to see if it's legitimate, it's going to show that he forwarded that e-card over here. So you now have the full ability to take care of and to track what happens with your individual presentations. Are there any questions on that, Rick, that you've gotten that I should address before I move on to a presentation?
One I've gotten quite repeatedly.
Okay.
Would you please go over the spam issue, because I'm getting pretty consistently, I sent myself the email, it's not showing up, and will you tell them that you've found a solution to that?
Yes, we have. This has been kind of a something that's been worked on, and without going into the details of why, when, and how, I can just tell you that this week, that issue will have been addressed. The server email that Nikon was using to send out the emails has a very low spam rating, basically. And so tons of emails were not just going into people's spam folder. They were not even getting through the ISPs. That issue, as of Friday, was finally isolated, that should be resolved, if not tonight, within the next day or so. We are moving to a totally different mail server. We will always struggle with spam. Just so you know, guys, there is no foolproof solution to spam. People use spam email repeatedly. They use it because it works. But what happens is because of that, many of the ISPs and many of the other companies out there do a lot to block it. There are literally hundreds of ways that they identify if something is spam is when it's coming through. I'll give you a couple of pointers in relationship to when you're building your presentations and your e-cards. If you use things like, in the title of the email, if you use things, words like opportunity, earn money, those lots of words like that, the systems know how to look for those words and flag those as spam.
Hey, Kevin, so, they can type in spam words on Google, and it will pull up a complete listing on there. It will actually have them what not to use.
Exactly. So it's a partnership getting through this spam issue. We are doing everything we can to keep the ranking of our IP address clean. And now that we're on a clean server, we can actually do that. So within the next two to three days, if not tonight, that issue will be solved. We apologize for what's happened with that. It was unfortunate. It was out of our control. But it has been addressed, and you shouldn't be having those problems. If there is an ISP that you notice that is not getting through, Comcast is probably one of the most difficult. But we have gotten that worked out with them, so these will start going through Comcast. But if you have an ISP that there's a problem that it's not getting through, please send an email to Nikon support, and we will get that addressed.
Another way around that too, Kevin, is if you guys have someone you just can't get it to, if you email it to yourself and then you can send it directly out of your, like, forward it, that gets around it sometimes. And the worst case scenario, what we found, Kevin, is that if I can't get an email to somebody, like on Comcast, I will have them send me an email and I will reply to it by pasting in the link. That's your absolute lowest thing you can do if you can't get around it, is reply
right.
to an email.
Right.
Let me get a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
This is from Vicki Bates. When my husband signed us up, he did not receive the login name and password. I've been able to access the site through the icons on my desktop. How can I find out my login ID? I've got that question a couple times.
Okay. It's pretty simple. We made a couple of changes because of requests from you guys. When we originally set the system up, the only login was for you guys to go to your log into MyNeekin and then log into the Media Center. Many of you voiced a desire to simply go straight to the Media Center and not have to go to your MyNeekin page. So if you were not given a password when you signed up, simply go to the link. You can actually see the link at the top of my page right now. It's intouch.neekin.com. If you go to that page, it will ask you for your login ID and your password. Your login ID is your distributor ID. If you do not have a password, simply click you forgot your password, and it will email you a string of numbers that God only knows where they come from. But that will be your new password. What I would suggest that you do is that when you get that password, you log into the Media Center, and you go to that preferences page, and you change your password for your Media Center to be the same as your password for MyNeekin. Okay, you don't have to do that, but it's going to make your life a whole lot simpler. If you make those two passwords matching, then you can access the Media Center either by going to Neekin, to MyNeekin and logging in, or by going directly to the Media Center link, and you won't have to try and remember what your password is. It'll be exactly the same as logging in to MyNeekin.
Excellent. Let me get a couple more. And if anybody on the live side has a question, stick out your elbow and holler too, okay? Let me get a couple more from people asking, I cannot upload a picture from my file. It's in JPEG with an E format. Can you tell me why? What would be
you're saying a JPEG with an E format?
JPEG, which I usually see as JPG. But
yes, that's exactly going to be your problem. You need to change the extension on that to simply be JPG.
What's the difference in the two for people not listening? Because you see it both ways. There is a difference, obviously.
It's an extension format. JPG is the proper extension format because extensions are supposed to be three letters, and we identify what file extensions that the Media Center can see and recognizes, and we do not have JPEG in there simply because it's not really an accepted naming nomenclature. So if you change that to JPG, it should upload it just fine.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
I don't have a little hand on mine, and I'm on the live side, so because I could see Kevin's desktop. But he covered this last time, and because there are some people that are on here that weren't, Kevin, when you let's say somebody wants to use some of these images, they don't want to do email, but they want to create something that they can actually print off and hand to somebody. How do you download those photos or those images onto your computer so you can do that and
Great
use
question.
It elsewhere?
Great question. Anything that, and I'll cover up, this is a good time to cover both uploading and downloading. Really quick, before I do that, I'm going to just move something onto my desktop. Give me one second here. If you want to download anything from the Neekin Library, if you can see, I'm in the Neekin Library right now, and I'm going to click on Images. Okay? And if I want to download an image, all I have to do is double-click on that image. It brings up a screen, and there's a button that says Download. If I click Download, it will download to whatever I have defaulted as my download folder. It's as simple as that. To upload is just that simple. There's a button here that says Upload Media. It's exactly the same as when we uploaded our picture. I can say select file, and it opens up a place where I can select an image. I'm going to select this, and I'm going to say upload, and it's going to upload that image, and it's going to give me the ability to type in a name, an address, or a title for it, and I can click update. And it will then place that image into my library. And that one didn't because it's the wrong file. Okay, so there it is. There's the image that I just uploaded into my library.
Great, thank you.
Hey, let me get a couple more of these questions.
Hey, Rick, I got a couple on emails.
Go ahead, Super Steve, do it.
Is there a contact list that we can have that's in this thing that's not evident, or does that not exist?
Yes, it sure does. I'll cover that very quickly. In the upper right-hand corner, there are contacts. I will preface this with two things. Number one, we are working with Nikon to be able to do a mail merge with your genealogy. There's a third party involved in that. That's why we can't do it at this point, but we are doing everything we can to solve that so you can do that mail merge. If you have contacts in other systems, you can go into your contact manager. You can add individual contacts here, or you can import. This importing software is a third-party software because they're the only ones who have the hooks into these. You can select who you want to import it from. If you select other, it gives you the opportunity to import from Outlook, a comma-delimited file, a tab-delimited file, so you can kind of have your choice of what you want to import it from. If you go to import your contacts and you're having problems, please contact us and let us help you out. The reason for that is, like I said, that's third-party software that does all of that importing, and sometimes there can be problems with it. If there's a contact in your contact file that might not be working just right, it may stop you from importing the whole thing. So you can import your contacts there, or you can add them. That you can then create groups within there. So that if you have a group name, like here I have a group for the Nikon training staff, or all contacts, or you can just add a group and add another one that's add that in, and then you can add your names to that group as you see fit.
Kevin, if you're downloading or importing from two separate places, let's say your Outlook and then a Gmail account or a Yahoo account, and there are duplicates, will it eliminate the duplicates, or will you just get two of them?
You will get two of them. Not at this time. It will not eliminate the duplicates.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Kevin, I had a question for you, too. Last time we talked that there were still some issues with Comcast. I noticed that Comcast was not on there. Can we still not
We have been trying to figure out how to deal with Comcast. Were you in Chicago?
Yes.
I have been trying to solve that problem incessantly, and I have not been able to get an answer. I've been trying to figure out even how to export out of that. So I'm still working on it. I haven't forgotten about you, and I'm doing everything I can to get an answer for that. Unfortunately, some of these guys tighten everything up because they don't want you to be able to export or import.
Load the people individually, though.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Kevin, a couple other quick questions. And you guys on this side keep doing it. Where did it go? What do you do to have to add multiple email addresses on a presentation? How do you separate them? Just put a comma in?
Go ahead, Rick. Sorry.
Do you just use a comma, or what
do
you do?
Exactly right. If you just, like, if I go, I'll go to a presentation here. I'm just going to go to something that's in my library. This is actually a slideshow, which is a good thing to open up because I'm going to show you some of the different things that exist here for slideshows. When you open a slideshow, now instead of just having an image here, you now have an image and you have all your slides down the side. So each individual slide. If I were to email that presentation out and I hit email, if I were to type in, see how it autofills? So it autofilled Jeannie's name, and then I could type in, it would autofill Heather's name. So it's just comma, next, comma, next, comma, next.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Yep.
So when you have, say, you know, a dozen folks in there, if you choose a group, does it send each email individually, or does it send it?
Yes, okay, it's true. That's a great question. That's a great question. And, yes, it does. It does not send a group email. It sends, if you have six people in there, it sends six individual emails to those people. So no one else sees who else it came from. It only goes individually to those people.
I had a bunch of those. Great. I had like five people. Angelique's the last one to ask that question. Everybody's asking that. Thank you for that.
Yep. And the other thing is, another thing that we've done to try and deal with this spam issue is it comes from, the email shows as coming from the InTouch Media Center, : Kevin Griffin. That way the email that it comes from matches the IP server, or the IP address, so it comes from InTouch Media Center, : Kevin Griffin. If they hit reply, it automatically puts your email address in the reply, not the InTouch address.
Hey, Kevin?
Yes.
On these emails that may have gone out as spam, can they be resent? Because I've got them in the tracker. I've got several that have not been opened, but I don't see how to resend them again.
All you have to do is let's deal with that offline and see if we can come up with a solution for that. I don't know the answer to that right now, but okay. I think there might be a way, but we need to check it. So let's deal with that offline, and we'll see if we can get that solved.
I can get you guys in touch too, Kevin.
Okay, absolutely.
So let me ask you this. Does anybody share their work right now? As I was understood, it was President's Club members can share their work, correct?
It's only President's Club. That's correct.
All right. And then the second one, this is from Grace, too. Does it have autoresponder capability to send emails to my team? That's what she just asked you. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get these down.
That's all right. No worries.
A lot of people are asking, how do you delete an entry that's in your library?
Yep.
Guys, all you do is double-click on it with the left button, and it will pop up a window. You can delete.
I'm in my library here. I'll double-click on this presentation, and you'll see there's a delete button right there.
How about, can PDFs be uploaded?
Yes, they can.
All right, let me see. I got a couple more. There's a ton of them on here. I think I'm trying to eliminate the duplicates, but a lot of them are involving the spam issue. A lot of them. Okay, here we go. This is from Joe Dickoff. What can be dragged at the basic screen that says drag slideshow here? Only slideshows? I was told to pull down an e-card from the upper left. Does that question make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Actually, there are two things. I'm going to click out of the builder here, and then I'll click back in it so we start with a fresh screen so everybody gets a good understanding for what the question is. The question is, this drag slideshows here is really meant to drag things out of the library, whether it's your library or someone else's library. You can currently drag e-cards or multiple slideshow presentations. In the very near future, you will also be able to drag individual slides there. So if I want to drag a multiple slideshow presentation, I simply click on it like we just did, and I drag it up there. That's what I drag into there to work with. If, however, I want to create a completely new slideshow, then I click on this new button up here. I don't drag anything. I just click new. It asks me for a name, and I'm going to just call this sample. And my first one's going to be a blank slide. So now I have created a completely new slideshow to work with. It's the same thing with the e-card. Currently, if there are a myriad, and these are really good assets for you to use. Currently, there are a huge number of individual slides that we have produced for Nikon products. The way those are used currently, they cannot be, if you look, I can drag it up in there. That's been worked on already. If I want to use one of these slides and create a presentation and I drag it up there, it says that I can either convert it to a slideshow or copy to my library. If I convert it to a slideshow, what it does is it simply creates a new slideshow and puts that slide into it. This area right here is something that it's incredibly powerful to use. If you'll look in this library, there are a large number of individual slides that, once again, rather than starting from scratch, if you meet somebody and let's say they're concerned about the environment or whatever, you can go find the products related to that issue and simply drag those up into the presentation. See, I just took that slide out of the library and put it into my presentation. I can go get 5 or 10 of these already pre-built slides, and now I have just created a 3-slideshow presentation with all of this content in it, and I didn't have to build a thing. And that presentation, if I preview it, even though I did not build a single thing in that presentation, when I email it out to somebody, I'm back to the preview window again, and you can see that that window comes up with my name, my address, my contact information.
Kevin, I have 2 questions for you. One about this. If you put your slide presentation together and you don't like the order that it's in, how do you change the order of where you place the slides?
Drag and drop. You'll watch what I'll do right now. I'm just going to drag it up there, and I just change the order.
Okay, good. That's easy. And
hey,
then
Kevin?
If you want to do an e-card, but you want to take a picture that you have maybe on your My Documents, or how do you do that with an e-card? Is there a browser button on here or something?
It's exactly the same thing. Anything that is in your library can be placed on an e-card. Sorry about all these blank ones in my library. They're test files. But anything that is in your library, an image that is in your library, can be used to build an e-card. If I click new...
It's on my desktop already? Or is it on my computer?
If it's on your computer, you would click on this upload media button. You would say select file, and you would go find that image on your desktop.
Okay, that's what I was asking. Thank you.
And you click on that image, and it will automatically upload it to your library, and you can use it on an e-card or a presentation or wherever you choose.
Hey, Kevin.
Go ahead, Kerry. Go ahead.
Someone needed to see 2 different products, and I tried to send them 2 slideshows, and I couldn't combine them, so I ended up sending them 2 separate emails. Is there a way to combine slideshows in one presentation so they could see 2 things at one time?
There is not, but that is on the development list, Kerry, because we've had the request for that. So we are working on that capability right now.
Kevin,
I was wondering if you could tell us when you're doing, like, say, the birthday card and you want to enter your personal information.
Uh-huh.
The blue box comes up, but it doesn't seem like you can enter anything. I can move it around, but I can't see.
Double-click on it.
Double-click on it. Thank you.
Yep, double-click on it, and that opens up the text editor and allows you to begin to edit text.
Okay.
Kevin, once we send out a slideshow or an e-card and it comes into our email, when we reply, it won't look the same. Is there a way we can copy, say, our picture and that text, that code, so that...
It depends on... That's a function of your email software. There are settings within the email software that say if you want to reply with HTML... or if you want to reply with, I forget what the other one is. But basically what is in there is HTML code. So if you reply with that HTML content in there, it may not look the same to you when you hit reply, but when they receive it on the other end, they'll receive it as HTML.
Okay, even if it's from our MyNeekin account and not through InTouch?
Yeah. Once the e-card is sent out of there, it doesn't matter.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Kevin, can you use any of the slides to create an e-card?
You cannot use slides to create e-cards. E-cards have to come from, because they're 2 very different items. They can't cross over. That's a function of email, because when you send an email, when you send these e-cards, they do not download anything to the person's computer. And that's critical for avoiding spam filters. If somebody gets a file that's got some big attachment to it, they're not going to download it. So when they get an e-card, it does not download anything to their computers. But what that means is that e-cards have to be different than presentations. So they're different sizes. If you can use images and videos to create e-cards, but you can't use a slide to create an e-card.
Just so you guys know on this, the e-card is basically the same terminology, Pathfinders, as e-vite. So what you guys are using from the current Stop Biz stuff are basically e-cards, Kevin. Is that that's a pretty
that's
good way
exactly
to put it.
Right. Yes.
So
that's
all
correct.
Of the e-vites that you guys are used to using are now being converted into e-cards.
Correct.
And then the full presentations. It presentations, guys. Like, it, just so you know, 90% of what you're going to use is going to be e-cards or e-vites to get people to look at a thing, or to watch a video, or to invite them to a function. You're not very often going to send somebody a 26-page presentation.
That's correct.
You're going to be using presentations for your downline, if you're doing some sort of a talk, if you're doing a WebEx. That's when you're doing it. If you guys need to be proficient at one thing on this right now, learn how to use the e-cards. In other words, let that be your first, and Kevin, I don't know if you agree with that, but that should be their first thing
sure.
to get master is the e-cards.
I'm a firm believer in a minimal approach to talking to people. People don't want to sit by themselves in front of a computer and watch 25 slides.
Yes.
So I would only add this to what Rick's saying, that if you are going, you can send the e-cards, or you can do something like I just did with this presentation, which is combine two or three slides
yes.
and send that to them. Because remember, we don't want to tell them everything right out of the bat. We're going to choke them. What we want to do is pique their interest. That's kind of that marketing thing.
And usually an e-card, or usually an e-vite, or an e-card, will then create interest that somebody will perhaps be a part of a presentation. But
correct.
I would highly recommend you guys not starting with a 30-page presentation.
Correct.
Okay.
And also, just to clarify something technically, when you build a presentation, it sends an e-card to that person telling them, and you get to type in, like if I were to email this right here, you can see that it's going to send this e-card that's in the right-hand side. That's what the e-card they will receive looks like. You type your text into here, and it will have a button that says Launch Presentation. When they click that button, it will open a new window in their web browser and launch the presentation. So if you email a presentation, they get an e-card to announce to them that they got a presentation. They click on a link in the e-card, and then it opens the presentation.
I'm getting some questions here. Let me ask this. First of all, can you show, this is Lori Blewett, can you show how to upload a PDF? I can upload but never add to an e-card or slide. Does that make sense? Lori, and if you're here, ask the question better if I didn't ask it right.
The only part of that, I don't know if I have a handy PDF here.
Can you upload it? Can you add it to an e-card or a slide, a PDF?
Yes. It's my understanding. I've done it, but why don't we do, is that Lori?
Yes.
Rick, can we get Lori's information? And Lori,
yes.
You and I can chat offline from that where I can actually walk
yes.
you through what you're trying to do.
Yes. And
sure.
by the way,
because
Kevin,
the issue that comes up with that is multiple page PDF treated than an individual page PDF.
And I think, Kevin, with this being such a new tool and we have so many new people, it's probably not a bad idea if we do this maybe once every, you know, we'll pick a time frame. But we'll have you back again because we're always going to have people that have never seen this before.
I will do it as many times as you folks need it.
A couple other questions. Can you create a slide with a video in it? I've had that question.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Times.
We just never got that far. Absolutely. Let me add a slide to this right here. If I say that's the power of this is the video. We haven't even touched on that. If you click on slide, and I'm going to add a slide here. For some reason, I'm not seeing images, but text and video. Normally, these have images on it, but I'm okay. I actually did the wrong thing myself. I'm going to add a new slide to this presentation, and I'm going to add one text and video. And what that does is that gives me a place to put text. I could type something in here. But then all I have to do is take a video, go down to the video library, and I'm going to go over here. Let's take the one of the Power Mag. If I just drag it up in there, okay, that video now is there to play on the screen. If I click on it, it will play. You guys will be able to hear it.
Like I said, a lot of these guys have used the e-vites already. This will work, guys, exactly like the e-vites you've been using. It's just a whole lot more efficient and elegant. So it's
going
to run off an e. It's
providing that question too. Right. So those that video will play on there. I'm going to put this one up here in there. A little bit more interesting to watch. And then if I'll hit, I'm going to make it the first slide so that we can, so you guys can see how it happens. Okay. And I'm going to go to preview.
Think they can see a video on this on their platform?
Yeah, that's what I'm always concerned with, is that the WebEx
doesn't show sometimes.
WebEx is always so slow with video because it has to stream that, and then it has to stream it out to you guys.
I'll be surprised if everybody can see this, but at least they'll get the idea how to do it.
Yeah, let's see if I can make it do it here for you over this WebEx.
While we're waiting, just had a real quick question for you. When you go to change or type something in, or you want to change the wording or anything, can you also play with the font?
Yes. If I double-click on this, should be able to see me now. See over here how this properties palette changes? Now that I'm in text, I have all of my formatting options over here.
Okay.
And then if we can change the text, how does NECAN maintain the integrity so people aren't making claims that they're not supposed to make and all that sort of stuff?
Very good question. All of this content is subject to review at any moment by NECAN's legal team. So they have full access to everybody's library.
Okay.
So if it's a NECAN-produced slide, they actually lock those slides up so nobody can see them, is what
they
do.
Very good.
So that's a very good question, and it's important for you guys to know that you are still under the guidelines that you signed up for with NECAN.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You guys are still bound by those, so it's important to do those things properly. If I click on preview now, I've placed this video on the screen. We'll see how WebEx does for me here.
Don't Photoshop yourself with no arms and then show the magnets that have arms.
Yeah.
Can you add link text you type into your card?
Say that one more time.
Can you have a link within the text?
Absolutely. Let me show you this video, and then I'll show you that. So this is the presentation I built with the OsteoDense video on it. I won't go into it all, but you can control in here whether the video automatically plays or whether the person has to push play to make it play. And in this case, I'm going to push play. I don't know if that's actually playing, Rick, if you guys can see that.
It is online, yeah.
Okay. So that's the video playing within the presentation. So whoever asked the question about video, that's one of the most powerful parts of the system. If you look at this video library, there are right now 3 pages worth of video, and there's about 12 more that are waiting for NECAN's final approval to go up online. There are testimonials on here from the convention in Mexico. There's more of those to come. Powerful stuff to use within your presentations. Adding a link. Yes, let me show you that very quickly. You can add a link to an image or to a body of text or a piece of text. If you click on an image, you'll see over here where it says image link. You could simply paste a link into that field, and that image is now a link. The hand will show up when they roll over that, and that'll link to whatever location is that you put in here. You can do the same thing with text. If you highlight a portion of text and you can paste your link right into the little box there, and you now have a link for that site. There is an important thing, and I don't know if Brewster's still on the call. Brewster and I have been dealing with this a lot. We're trying to deal with the issue of linking people directly to your MyNECAN or your personal web page. Currently, the only way to do that, and this is not totally confirmed with NECAN yet, but it's my understanding of how they're saying it should work. I don't know how your PWPs work, but you guys have a place to put personal links within your personal web page, from what I understand.
That's correct.
That you have to use the link that you put in. You can't just copy the URL out when you're on your personal web page. You have to use those links that are defined in that portion of your personal web page. So that's the deal with that.
The they can hit view source if they're an explorer or something too, and just cut and paste it out. It's easy to go in there and get those exact links like a surgeon too.
Mm-hmm. More questions, Rick, that are there?
We got a few, Kevin, but I think we're getting kind of long in the tooth, and I think we could go on forever, and we'll have
That's fine.
Back. And like I said, at Summit, we'll leave lots of time for live Q&A, too, and it's only, you know, that's only now about 6-7 weeks out, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So anybody on the live side here have any more questions for KG?
You rolled over something that said in my library, which I assume means your Kevin's library.
Yeah, that's correct.
That said it works if you do.
That's actually in the Nikon library,
I believe. Great. That's all I needed to know.
I think that's actually a shared presentation from Sharon Weinstein.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yep,
that's what
correct.
I just wanted to make. Okay, great. Thanks.
I'll let you finish questions, and I'll make a last statement here.
I think that'll about do it. Just remember, everybody, get out there and use it. Like any piece of technology, don't be afraid to use it. The only way you get good at it is by using it, and this is a pretty stable platform. Don't be afraid of messing it up, quote unquote. Don't overcreate, guys. I'm serious. I know I sound like an old mother hen saying that. Find some that you're good at and use them. On
Absolutely.
Next week's call, we're going to focus on that. Like, for example, we're going to give you some prospecting examples. Like, we're going to say, for example, I'll have somebody in the call say, "Hey, Rick, I just met somebody at the grocery store. What would I do next?" We're going to have people say, "I just had someone watch the Evite. What would I do next?" And we're actually going to have the computer up on the WebEx, and we're going to show you what tool to use next and how you would do it. You guys on the live side, does that sound like a cool call to you guys?
That sounds like it would be very, very helpful, Rick.
Yeah, we're going to actually do live process training next week. In other words, people you've met, what would you do using the full spectrum of our tools? So that's what we're going to do. Get your Summit tickets before the price goes up on Friday, and have a great week, everybody. Next Monday, we'll be here at 9 p.m. Central Time again. We're trying to find the right time for the call, and I think we had a good one tonight. Kevin, go ahead and close her up and
throw
your last picture.
Yep, I would say that the best way to use this, like Rick said, is to go do it, and you're not going to make any mistakes, but don't wait until you need it to go sign up for it. Sign up for it now. Play with it. Make sure you understand it, and then you have time to ask questions. But if you wait until just before you need it or just before Rick does his training, then you'll be behind the curveball. So go out and get it now. That way you can be up and ready and prepared when the training comes around.
Guys, give Kevin
so
a big
much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you,
guys. Everybody have a great night.
All right, Kevin, thank you.
Take care, guys.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.